You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville Football Friday edition. Russell, Bear, and Trey checking in with you. We're here till 6. Football Friday edition of the show on a subdued Bama week.
You know, I think this is the first Football Friday we have ever done in studio since I've been on the show.
Wow.
What?
We're talking years.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. We've been in studio every day this week, which, I mean, is an indication of how excitement. Little the business community values Alabama week this year.
This used to be the craziest week of football season.
We'll be back on the road a lot next week. Tuesday, we're at Jets in Farragut. Wednesday, Old Ben Franklin Motors. Friday, National RX. So, I mean, that's kind of a good barometer of where we are, right? I mean, it's next week is a much more important game than
South
this
Carolina week. Yeah, and the
we're putting that on. Okay, radio advertising.
I mean, it's so weird, but it is like
it's just what I mean. It's a fact of life for all the the taverns, bars, restaurants, pubs.
Hospitality
industry.
What do the
you scale back? That's what you do. You're like, no, we can't.
Well, how do you handle a 9 o'clock kickoff? You've worked in bars. Like, is that a good thing?
No,
for the bars?
God, that is absolutely the absolute worst thing.
Game doesn't end until 12:30.
I mean, if you're like one of the places I work by day, it was primarily food, but at night it was pretty much a venue, and then upstairs it had a bunch of crazy stuff going on. So, sweet spot there, really. The 3:30 is a really good one because you can get people
in early.
Well, no, you'll get your before game people, and then after the game you'll get people that want to eat before they go home, and they're going to let traffic die down, and then you've got people that are going to eat and stay for a while, and then you've got your favorite kind of people that show up ready to get down and get funky at 8 o'clock, and they're still there at 1. Just powering through it.
What's better, a win or a loss?
Is that a serious question?
For the industry. I mean, you got to think about it. I know people are celebrating, but also people come in there and they want to get drunk and forget about it.
No, they don't. They go home and drink
I think people go home. If it's a beat down, like if this
it's
were
like
a 3:30 game.
And, bar in Knoxville.
And if this were a 3:30 game and Alabama just started hammering us and it's over in the middle of the second quarter, people bail. It's like when we were at Smoky Mountain Brewery a couple of weeks ago during that Braves game.
That's true.
And that Braves game started at 5. And there were a lot of people who came in to watch that game. And there was one guy in a Braves uniform, and he left in the middle of the top of the first inning.
He left in a huff.
This was like 10-0, and he left, and his closing comment as he walked by the Godfather was, "I can't take it anymore." I can only presume that he went out and committed suicide.
Either that or he just went home
rest
and
in peace.
Drank alone.
Get excited. It's football weekend.
Get
Why
it.
Not? The people down in Alabama are excited.
Oh, I'm
they're ready.
I'm sure they are.
Sure they are. I hope they enjoy. I hope that
roll down tide.
That light show self-destructs and causes a citywide blackout in Tuscaloosa, goes without power for the next 3 weeks. I hate them. This week used to be so much fun. It's gone.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, if Tennessee can – how long they can keep it competitive. There's a good Rickard Ridge
That's
barbecue.
Where we're at. How long can we keep it competitive?
Yeah, when will the game be over? When it's over, or will it be over first quarter, second? Because last year, remember –
midway through third.
Remember last year, they got the ball and went right down the field on us. It was maybe the most demoralizing first drive because any illusion that you had of, like, maybe we catch them napping, maybe we play above ourselves, it was just like, no.
They came out real crisp.
They took the ball and just shoved it down our throats, made us like it, and, I mean, it was over.
Yeah, I mean, if we win the toss, he's you got to take the ball first.
You're also going to go for a lot of fourth downs in this game. I think you might see an onside kick or a punt or two.
Yeah, he doesn't need to be stupid about it, though.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to be going for fourth,
and there is no chance to win.
Yeah, you go down there.
You don't go down there and go fourth. That's some Howl Mummy. That's some Howl Mummy stuff right there.
If it's fourth and three from the Alabama, no, from the Tennessee 45-yard line, fourth and three, you're going to punt right there? You're going to say, all right, you know what? We've got to figure out a way to keep the ball in our possession here.
It's interesting. Did you guys read the David Ubbin piece where he went and talked to the Arkansas high school coach that Pruitt was referring to? Pruitt is straight, and I think he's growing up a little bit as a head coach, because last year he was super aggressive but also super conservative. He did 5 onside kicks in the first half last year, which has to be number one in the country in terms of aggression. He also went for it. I think there were only 3 teams that went for it on fourth down less than us last year. And obviously he hasn't tried the onside kick thing yet this year. But I think generally speaking, when it comes to football, I favor a more conservative approach. But I do think that this year is – like he said, there is some truth to it. I do think you put your pedal to the metal a little bit and see what happens. Now, a little bit.
It depends on the situation in the game. I don't want to see any Howl Mummy Mike Leach going for it 4th and 8 from our own 20. Remember when they did that against us when they were up in Kentucky?
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about that. But I do think, like Trey's saying, I think you get in that between the 40s, if it's 4th and less than 5, yeah, why not, man? And if the game gets away from you, it gets away from you. At that point, you shut it down, you run it, you run the play clock down, and you get out of there, hopefully with no starters hurt.
Great.
But
I just think you have to take a couple chances in this
game. Do you have to lose, man?
Nothing. You go down there and play with house money. You have nothing to lose.
Go be aggressive. Let Maurer throw it around a little bit.
Throw the ball downfield.
See what happens.
What do you got to lose? You're going to lose by 40, you're going to lose by 25.
I'll tell you what you have to win. The Crown Pick of the Week, brought to you by Crown Cleaners and Qdoba. Get on over there, our Facebook page. The thread is going. The thread is long. The thread is strong. Facebook.com/TheDriveWithRussellSmith. Give us your score prediction for the Vols and Tide. Get that done before kickoff tomorrow so that you'll be eligible to win gift cards from Crown Cleaners and Qdoba of Knoxville. Let's go around the room real quick to start things off. Give us a score prediction. Bear, we'll start with you. I know Bear's expecting a beatdown. It's just how bad.
Yeah, they'll score in the 40s, and then Saban will call the dogs off, and I think that we could probably score one. I think we could score twice. Their defense is not as ferocious as it used to be. I mean, it's still really, really good, and they tackle incredibly well. But if Maurer's really all right, I think we could score a couple of times on them. Yeah, like 45-7, 45-14, somewhere in there.
Trey?
35-14, Alabama.
I'm going 49-14. I agree with Bear. I think that we can score twice on them, kind of like we did against Georgia. I think that we're not going to be able to stop them that much, and I would imagine that Saban calls off the dogs, and there would be maybe a chance for a backdoor cover in this one. We'll see, but, not all beatdowns are created equal. I think at the end of the day, and I'll talk more about this coming up on 5 things I want to see, but I think that the main goal, as we've been talking about all week, is to get out of here with your confidence intact. Whatever momentum you established last week by beating Mississippi State, you got to keep that, and you can't let them hang 70 on you, because if you do that, I think that hurts your confidence. By the way, I don't know if you guys noticed, but Ryan Helinski scheduled to start for South Carolina tomorrow against Florida.
How long that lasts.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
That's some Nick Saban kind of mojo right there. Wonder what they rubbed on his knee, because that thing looked broke to me.
Mr. Miyagi.
I'm going to say it's a sprain. I don't think he's going to be back there running around much.
Nah, he'll be braced every which way.
But
I don't imagine he's going to be very mobile tomorrow.
I agree with you, but you have to. I mean, with Helinski, you have to wonder. Okay, how healthy is he coming in South Carolina? And on the flip side, what you were talking about, you got to get Tennessee. You have to keep Tennessee's momentum at least at that mark where it was at Mississippi State.
You don't want to see guys hanging their heads going off the field, you know, saying, damn, we just got humiliated. Like, we're back to square one. We're back to where we were after the BYU game. That's you want to be able to come off the field and be like, you know what? We got beat by a superior football team, but, man, you know, we've got something. This Maurer kid, we moved the ball on them a little bit, gave them some problems defensively, and, you know, we just couldn't keep up with their elite passing game, and South Carolina's not going to be that good, so let's circle the wagons and come back and try to get a huge win next week against the Gamecocks.
That's the part that really sucks about all of it is we've got this game stuck in here that's just going to be a total momentum killer.
But what if it doesn't, though? Like, honestly, what if Tennessee comes out and plays some good football? You know, Alabama's just good. They're just great. It's a really – Tennessee players have been talking about it all season. I mean, for the past week. But what if Tennessee actually comes out and plays a good ball game? And it's just – it's Alabama, and they can't get past their run game, and Tennessee scores – 17 some odd points, and they're actually in reach, and in reach I mean 21 to what if Bama's playing their starters in the fourth quarter?
I think the best case scenario for Tennessee, the best realistic case scenario, is a repeat of the Georgia game, where, like you're talking about, you play some pretty good football, surprise some people. I just don't see any way that you're going to emerge victorious. But even though, what was the Georgia score? It was like 42-14, something like that.
Yeah, but take off that fumble for a touchdown, it's 35-14.
You just, even though it was technically a beatdown and the game was decided midway through the third quarter, we still felt coming out of there that, man, that Maurer kid gave us a spark, and maybe if we can build on that, we can win some games. And we did. Came out the next week and beat Mississippi State. I feel like, and we talked about this, it's just repeating the previous two-week process where beat down against Georgia, but you built a little bit of momentum and you translated that into a win the next week. I think that's what we're looking at. Probably a beat down tomorrow, but if you can show enough to give your players some hope, your fans some hope, hopefully we have a good crowd on hand a week from tomorrow, and maybe we can get our first win against Will Muschamp. And if you do that, I think it's on as far as the chase for six and a bowl game and saving really the Pruitt program, which appeared to be DOA just a few short weeks ago.
Would you say it's a difference between 10,000 seats next week, how this team plays this weekend? Come out, show some fight, don't get your ass kicked too terribly bad.
I don't think
there'll be 90,000 compared to 80,000.
Could I don't know.
It's going to be a night game.
I don't know that any Tennessee fan is going to.
It's not a night game. It's 4 o'clock.
Well, that's afternoon, but yeah.
I don't know that any Tennessee fan is going to have whether or not they go to the South Carolina game determined by anything that happens.
How we look
against Bama. I mean, if you impress, if you take that game into the fourth quarter somehow, I think more people will go because there will be more hope and more expectations. So we can talk about it here. 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in, Next Door Home Group hotline is open. 546-8200. Coming up, we'll get your Rocky Top report as we set the stage for the Vols and Bama in Tuscaloosa. Also, take a look around some interesting games going on in the SEC tomorrow. We'll take a look around what's going on in the rest of the league coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
There is the best there was and the best there ever will be. This is The Drive.
Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Craigner Group. Tennessee and Alabama. Tomorrow, third Saturday in October.
Crank up the Skinner.
A tradition like none other. Vols and Tide meet for the 102nd time Saturday night. Primetime showdown in Tuscaloosa. Game will be televised by ESPN, 9 o'clock Eastern time. Kickoff, Steve Levy will be your play-by-play man. Brian Greasy will be the analyst, and Todd McShay.
You got McShay and Greasy.
I
got
to say, yeah, I mean, that's...
Wait a minute, it's not Molly McGrath, the one who Molly came out with
Molly
that
McGrath will be on the sideline. Todd McShay and Molly McGrath will both be down there.
Okay. What did Molly McGrath say? No Tennessee football player said that bizarre crap.
Oh, yeah,
Molly
we got
McGrath.
Something to talk about. Yeah. You didn't see what happened?
No.
Molly McGrath last night during the Stanford versus whoever in the world they were playing last night, UCLA game, came out and said that, and she said this during they were trying to promo the game. So the Tennessee game. So she comes out and says last night, here's the direct quote. Molly McGrath, just now plugging the Tennessee-Alabama game, says she talked to a couple of Vol players who said, quote, this doesn't look like an Alabama team that can win a national championship.
Oh, God.
Number one, none of our football players
would. Why would you say that?
I don't think they did say it.
You think she made it up?
I don't know if she made it up. Maybe she got it down from.
No, she flat out made that up, man. There's no way a Tennessee football player. Read the sentence again, Trey.
This doesn't look like an Alabama team that can win a national championship.
That does not sound like anything a college football player
would say. Tennessee
player
spoke to the media all week and never
said
a damn thing.
Those guys say exactly what, what's his name, Big Germ wants them to say.
Well, here's the thing, man. It doesn't matter. They're going to have that on their bulletin board. I mean, as if they needed any more.
That's cheap hype, though. That's cheap hype.
As if they needed it. Hey, man, look, that's not a great broadcast crew to me. All the more reason to join us, your fan-run brethren, down at Elkmont Exchange tomorrow night. Big John Reed and the crew are going to be there. I'm going to try and get by there early and have a little. I mean, tomorrow's just going to be so weird, man. Like, I'm trying to like plan when I eat, trying to eat later. I don't know. Like, because
no,
we do voluntary direction at 12:30.
You got a long day.
You got a Waffle House after for breakfast.
He goes to Crystal.
I'm going to have something beforehand because I will be starving if I just eat a normal dinner and then, like, we're doing that show at 2 in the morning.
You can't do Crystal, though.
Well, no,
before.
What you need to do
you don't want to do it beforehand. Right. The rectum rockets.
Right.
No, I mean, John will be doing it by himself.
Have you seen this pile of crap?
Russell will be doing it from the fan-run bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I need is to come in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios with a belly full of crystals. And for the voluntary reaction, I mean... Can you imagine how
Reedy,
off
Big John would kill you, man? You can't do that to those guys.
No.
Hudson's really helped us out this
Tennessee
week.
Tennessee wins this weeks. Game. And
Trey tried to bet.
You're
Trey,
on the air for 9 hours.
Trey tried to bet me $20 yesterday.
I just felt like throwing something down.
What do we have a bet on?
Yeah, what do y'all have to bet on?
It's not the West game, is it?
No.
I don't feel like
I think West is going to win.
See, I think Powell's going to win.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't. I'm a West Rebel backer in this one.
Anyway, back to the Rocky Top report.
Oh, sorry. I got sidetracked there. And gambling. And
Alabama features a high-powered offense that ranks near the top of the SEC and the country in the vast majority of categories. Bama ranks second in the nation in scoring, averaging 51 points per game. They are third in the country in passing offense, 366 yards per game, and sixth in the country in total offense, averaging 536.8 yards per game. Of course, Tua Tagovailoa has a deep and talented group of wide receivers. Tua leads the nation with 27 passing touchdowns, and he has thrown just one interception this year. Devontae Smith, Jerry Jeudy, and Henry Ruggs III have combined for 98 catches and 20 touchdowns. Defensively, the Tide allowing just 17 points per game, which ranks fourth in the SEC, and 14th nationally. Junior defensive back Xavier McKinney leads the team and ranks third in the SEC with 47 tackles to go with an interception, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. And the linebacker duo of Anthony Jennings and Terrell Lewis have combined for 13 TFLs and 8 sacks. Ugh. That's what Tennessee's up against tomorrow.
Saying we're going to see Garantano tomorrow.
Probably.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yep.
Like either... Whether it's injury or just mop-up time, I think we do see Garantano.
Could even be by design.
By design?
Why would design to lose and cause your fan base to you know, start eating handfuls of Xanax.
Oh!
Well, it's just hit another level.
You want some good news, though? Basketball, we keep hearing the Jalen Springer announcement is imminent. So Tennessee, Jaden Springer announcement is imminent. So evidently they're just waiting for some time on ESPN to make that official. And this is a very interesting note. Yesterday, Tennessee has canceled this weekend's official visit from P.J. Hall, a top 50 type prospect from Spartanburg, South Carolina. And this on the heels of Dylan Cardwell coming in last week on an official visit. A lot of people are thinking that maybe Tennessee has just chosen to take the bird in hand with Dylan Cardwell, who's not as highly touted a prospect, but maybe a better fit for what Tennessee needs. He's a 6'10", 230, 240-pound banger, whereas P.J. Hall is, I think he's listed at 6'8", 6'9", maybe 220 pounds or so, much more polished offensive player, but Cardwell might be a bigger body and a stronger body, maybe a better defender and rebounder.
Where is he ranked? What's his number?
Just outside the top 100, according to
both. So, top 100, 6'10", 240-pound banger, as you called him. Rim runner, probably a dunker. Force in the paint is what you're telling me?
I haven't watched.
He's a defensive
I know where somebody else is that meets that criteria. About 12 miles that way, west.
I haven't watched the film yet. But he just looking at pictures, he looked like a C.J. Black Hathaway type body, like going back a ways, but just a big
a behemoth.
Yeah, a biggin, a load, as they say.
More Barkley-esque? Are you talking just beefy, or is he not?
I mean, I'm not going to compare him to Charles Barkley, one of the 50 greatest players of all time.
Tennessee's turning down.
I'm trying to think of like a more recent who are some of the big guys we've had here recently?
We haven't really.
Yeah.
Tobias
Jarnell and
Tobias
Jaron.
About 6'7", 6'8".
Yeah. I mean, he's just a 6 foot
Stokes
10,
and
200, 240, 250 pounds. I mean, he's a big old kid, but almost of the opinion. First of all, we're over-signing anyway. If we get Springer, we're full. So if you take Cardwell, somebody's going to have to go next year. And modern college basketball, there's a pretty good chance that's going to happen anyway. I would almost of the opinion, like, and I don't know that they're turning P.J. Hall away, but I'm almost of the opinion to sign them both and you sort it out later. And if you have to run a guy, then
how many seniors will we have? Bowden, Turner.
Folkey's junior.
We got two seniors, but we only have 12 scholarship players this year. So we've got three scholarships to give.
You could potentially be losing Josiah as well.
Yeah.
So that's three.
Yeah, but we lose him, I imagine. That was like we said, if we thought we were going to lose Bone. If we lost Bone, we'd be making it into the final.
Can you imagine a basketball squad with Josiah James, Corey Walker, Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson?
I don't know that you're going to have to imagine it.
Goodness gracious.
I think it's a pretty strong possibility. That is the Rocky Top Report. It's brought to you by the Kregner Group. Folks, if you're thinking about moving, even if you're thinking about moving next year, you need to get the ball rolling. It's a complicated, drawn-out process, and you can get ahead of the curve with the Kregner Group. Call today, and he'll come over to your house for free. This won't cost a dime. And just look around and say, all right, here's what you got to do to get this home sold. Here's what you got to do to hit the market running early next year. Call Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group today, 865-742-1035. If you want to know how much your home is worth, how much it's going to go for on the open market, if you want to know what you need to do to get an extra 10, 20, 30 grand more out of your home, what you need to do to get it in condition to go to market, again, you can call Bo for free today. He'll walk you through it. Are you eligible for Homes for Heroes? Are you a teacher, a firefighter, military personnel? You could be eligible for fantastic savings. Get the answers to these questions and more at BoKnowsHouses.com. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. BoKnowsHouses.com. Kregner Group, real estate the right way. 865-546-8200. Who is Molly McGrath? Like,
she's a sideline reporter. Used to work for Fox Sports. Now she works for ESPN.
She's one of those sideline. She does those. They all sound the same. I can't tell them apart. I mean, they say the
if
same stuff.
If you're looking for the tweet,
stuff.
It's from Stuart Mandel. Who tweeted it. Said he saw it during the day. It just, you know what?
I'm trying to figure, like, how she would have gotten that.
Well, okay, first of all, logically, this is what happens. These broadcast teams fly in today. They'll sit down tonight with Jeremy
Pruitt. But she said
Pruitt.
This yesterday.
I know. So what I'm getting at and I'm thinking is that she wanted a little pre-production. If this is true, she wanted a little pre-production earlier this week, so she called and asked to talk to a couple players over the phone.
Usually, the coach meets with the broadcast team
Friday night.
Friday.
And they go to dinner. The SIDs take the broadcast crew to dinner on Friday
night.
You nights.
Think the SID would let Molly McGrath talk to Tennessee players before
I don't know.
They met with Pruitt?
But I know Taylor Zarger's sort of, been allowed. I mean, I know Taylor.
Would they do some sort of conference call where they have a couple of players? They do different stuff for the – you know, this is – the SEC – The schools have obligations to ESPN.
Yes.
So if ESPN says, hey, they'll call up Tennessee Sports Information Department and say, we'd like to schedule some stuff ahead of time. Do you think you could grab three players and put them around the conference call for us and we'll do a conference call at 3 o'clock on Wednesday? Like I could see that happening and the local media is not involved in everything. But I'm just wondering.
Can you see on any way a UT player would say something?
Here's what, and I'm just spitballing here. This is pure speculation station. She asked something to the effect of, hey, Alabama's scoring a lot of points, but their defense isn't as dominant as they have been in years past. Is that something you guys have noticed in film? And maybe they say, yeah, they've relied a lot more on their offense this time around. Something like that. And she construes
that's a pretty big construing.
Yeah. Yeah, people construe.
We're about to get an answer if Molly McGrath interviewed players this week.
Okay, Trey's on it. Stay with us.
Such a weird quote. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I'm bringing it. Such a weird quote.
It's definitely not.
Doesn't sound like anything.
We don't need to
tightly
help
controlled
them
football play. Yeah,
and if somebody did say that, like Big Germ needs to have a little sit down, son. Yeah. What the hell is wrong with you?
Cornbread.
Germ could sit down. I'd be asking at 4 a.m.
Rickard Ridge Barbecue
Stadium.
Smoking hot question coming up. What do you think's going to happen tomorrow, man? Is it a blowout? Is it a close one? Are we going to shock the world? We'll kick it around. Coming up next here on The Drive.
Smoke it. The Drive.
Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. What do you think happens tomorrow? What do you think happens tomorrow? Is it Bama in a blowout? Bama in a close one? Or do the Vols shock the world? And I won't even go differentiate between winning a close one and, well, we're not going to blow
there's
them.
There's no point.
I mean, that would be so much fun. What if we pulled a Clemson? I mean, Clemson kind of blew them out last year. Just go down there and just.
Clemson's, like, their three deep is just as good as Bama's. Or comparable, for sure.
What if they get?
They've got a better.
What if they get into the crystals? What if they get the flu? What if they didn't get their flu shots like Trey? They're all throwing up tomorrow night. You okay?
The hell are you doing?
That was kind of a raspy laugh. Where are you at? Like, what? You're not 100% clearly. No, what are you, like 75, 80?
I'm at 70.
70?
I'm going to get the needle today to kind of put it over the top.
Maybe next year you get the needle beforehand so you don't need the needle afterwards.
Look, we should have sent Trey down there last week at the height of his illness.
To National RX. Yeah, that would be great.
No, to Alabama football.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fox, you know.
Here to do some pre-interviews.
Would you go and kiss Alabama football players on the mouth, take one for the team? I mean, we wouldn't
I'd only get away with one.
I don't know. I mean.
Hang around Saban.
Yeah.
He's kind of old.
I'll go give it to Butch.
He's nothing without his players. I don't care about Saban and Butch. You just need Trey to have a good makeout session with Tua and the three receivers and maybe Najee Harris.
What is this?
I wasn't going there. I just wanted him to go and
I'm about
shake
a shaking
hands
of hands or something. Or a wet willy.
That's not necessarily going to do it.
I'll breathe on them.
I think you got to get it in their mouth somehow.
I guess I need to go get shocked before I go down there.
That's what she said.
131 votes cast at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. 71% of the audience says Bama in a blowout. 24% of the audience says Vols shocked the world. That is actually J-Train and his entire family voting for Vols shocking the world. Just kidding, J-Train. I love you.
What did Bear say was going to happen?
Blowout.
Same thing I've said all week, Trey.
You said what, 49-7?
Yeah, 45, like 40s to – I don't think he'll completely humiliate Pruitt, but he's gonna run his offense.
I went 49-14.
You guys do know that great moments are born from great opportunity.
Is that a butchism?
And that's what them boys have here. Be kind. Tomorrow night.
What? Opportunity what? Learn what it,
that's
you
what
know, your own bones sound
here
like when they're breaking?
Tomorrow.
Learn what it feels like to get bent over a barrel.
One game, if
the
we play
states.
Them 10 times, they might win 9, but not this game.
They're winning 10.
Not tonight.
What movie is this
we
from?
We skate with them. Tonight we stay with them, and we shut them down because we can.
Tonight we dine in
tonight we are the greatest football team in the world.
24% of the audience thinks Tennessee's winning so far. How does that strike you, Bear?
Well, damn,
there's a lot of people that have already gotten their party started.
You can come down and party with us tomorrow at Elkmont Exchange.
It's going to get lit.
Should be a lot of fun. And at least beforehand, man. You can get we'll get down there. I'm going to get there early, man, and just trying to enjoy, soak up some of the environment there. I've been to Elkmont since the tournament last year. So, and as I recall, that was a lot of fun because I watched the Purdue game all at my house for some reason. I don't think I was there. So, I watched the Colgate game there, and that was.
Yeah, I was there for like the first hour. Then I got on my. Yeah, I remember that.
It was not a lot of fun until it was.
And
then the Iowa game was a lot of fun until it wasn't. And then
Iowa
it was,
game was
again.
Fun. Yeah.
And then the Purdue game wasn't a lot of fun until it was, and then it wasn't.
The Purdue game was badass. That was an awesome game.
I remember when Admiral hit that three to give us the lead.
Top of the key.
He's like almost closer to midcourt.
Right.
Like that might be the high point of the Rick Barnes era, probably so far.
You don't think Lamonte going off and then giving it off the backboard to Grant for the slam dunk with 8 seconds left? People realize that, right? Lamonte wasn't going in for the layup there. He threw it so high off the backboard, he knew Grant was coming in for the dunk.
I'll be honest, I don't even remember that.
I don't either. The highlight of the Rick Barnes era to me is not anything in the tournament.
It's the SEC tournament?
No.
The Kentucky game?
Yeah.
It's Lamonte burying just
– the three at Rupp. Reaching
into John Calipari's heart and pulling it out and showing it to him and then taking a bite out of it.
I'd be interested to hear like what Tennessee fans think is the best game from last year, because me personally, I think it is Tennessee versus Kentucky in Nashville in the semifinals with Tennessee down 9 with 2 minutes and 40 seconds left, and they come back and win that game.
Could this be a good pivot – from it, like, all right, we could talk Bama, Tennessee if you want. If you want to talk to us a little bit about what you think is going to happen tomorrow, we'd love to hear from you at 865-546-8200. If not, if you want a distraction, and we could come back and talk football again next week, because I think we all agree the South Carolina game should be highly competitive. But if you just can't talk football today because you're afraid of what's likely to happen tomorrow, how about this? Give me your top two, three, five. Whatever. Give me your top three moments of the Rick Barnes era.
Ooh.
Whoa. 4 years. 4 years. Just I'm going to go off the top of my head here. Go off the top of my head. For me, number one probably going to be beating Kentucky in the SEC tournament last year, because that's something I've never seen before.
It was awesome.
I don't think we've ever beaten. Did we ever get one against like Billy Clyde or Tubby or anything?
Gillespie.
I don't think we'd ever beaten them in the SEC tournament, maybe since like 1980 or something like that before I was watching.
I'm sorry, I think it was 79. We were doing
voluntary reaction that day. I think me and you were after that game.
No, because I was at home. I remember because my father-in-law was there. They were in town visiting.
I made a complete
fool of myself because I went on a profanity-laced tirade after it became obvious that we were going to win.
They started
showing the Kentucky fans doing the surrender cobra in the stands.
Oh.
I started going, bleep you, bleep you, bleep you, at the TV right in front of my in-laws.
Good for you.
They're like, oh, God, their daughter married a complete simpleton, just a complete dullard. They're like, oh, my God, really, honey? You couldn't have done any better than this guy? Good grief.
His princess.
Oh, my God.
So that's probably number one for me. Number two, probably the win at Rupp
in year three. When
Lamonte hit the three, that's right up there.
The dunk they wouldn't count.
Yeah. I don't feel like the Iowa game to me last year, even though we won, like it's kind of disappointing because we made it so much harder than it had to be, right?
Yeah.
So that's not.
Yeah, but they were up, but then they got hot behind the three-point line. I mean, Tennessee built a good lead. They got hot behind the three-point line. Tennessee had a chance to win it there at the end. They didn't. They go to overtime. They took care of business.
I mean, there's moments, that Vanderbilt game where they had – led us the whole way. What year was that? Down there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Was that
and then Bowden. Bowden went up and he could have touched the top of the backboard.
Yeah, that was last year.
It was, wasn't it?
That's when Grant went 23 from the free throw line and had like 40 some odd points. Tennessee.
Wasn't that also the game where he flubbed the last? Yeah. He didn't do what he was supposed to.
Well, yeah, Barnes chewed him out.
Pop it right back to Admiral and let him take the shot because they collapsed.
He had delusions of grandeur.
Yeah, I mean it's easy. His eyes saw glory. Scored 40 something points.
Yeah,
but. I mean there was. It's interesting. I know we're up against it, and I'll talk about mine on the other side. But I mean, there's so many good ones, and there's been so many good games too.
Winning in Gainesville last year and chomping the Gators on the way off the court.
What about Admiral hitting the dagger in Arizona against Gonzaga?
Ooh.
That was pretty smooth. He stroked that one.
Oh man, that was a dagger.
I just got a little turned on just thinking about that. That was nice.
That was a dagger.
That was great. Stay with us. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Your phone call's coming up. People are telling me I'm sandbagging on my West boys.
Yeah, West has got a solid. I got a solid squad this year, bro. They're in uncharted territory. Have they lost yet?
No, just a couple of unbeatens going at it. 7-0 for the Region 3 5A championship.
How tough is their region?
That's Weston Powell.
Weston Powell. It's one of the tougher regions. Who else is in there with them? Is that with Bearden?
Bearden 6A, aren't they?
Okay, this is a 5A.
Yeah.
Oh, Wes has put some players into college recently.
I can never keep up. One of my pet peeves in high school football is the classification. It used to be three classifications, and then they went up to five, which was absurd. There's no reason that the state of Tennessee, with the population as small as it is here, should have five classifications of football. And I always wanted to go back down to three. But the TSSAA, in all its infinite wisdom, has just made this thing so convoluted that I can't keep up with who's in what region anymore, because they went from 5 classifications to 6 classifications.
I didn't think they needed to move from 5. I felt like they did need 5 because there's some, you know, the super high schools.
I would love to
parts of the state.
Make it simple, man. Make it high school football again. Have 3 classifications. Put the private schools in with the public schools, and just let it be high school football.
Yeah.
Just have 3 classifications, man.
If they did that, Russell, it'd be Brentwood Academy winning 3A most years, and then it would be – they're not going to do that. They'll never have the private schools back in there again.
We have 7 classes in Alabama, and we have like an all –
and there should probably be, like, what, 4 or 5?
Probably.
Did they do the thing, like
– they got – it was 6A was the big one. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, there's about 12 teams, you know, in the state that deserve to be bigger. Like Hoover is in there.
Yeah.
Let's put them in the 7A.
That's a good – Nashville has gotten a lot – like, we did not have a city as big as Birmingham.
Public school football in Nashville, they're on hard times down there. I mean, there's some one school I read somewhere they've dropped. I mean, one school in Nashville just dropped football.
Yeah, what school was that?
All the good players go to the
team.
Yeah,
private schools.
Yeah, all the private schools. It's getting like that. I imagine it's been kind of like that in Memphis.
Now, West has a really good squad this year. I mean, that defense is. They've got 2 kids that are going to Arkansas. Jeff Francis's son is a linebacker. He's going to Arkansas, and then. Tyrese Edwards is a defensive lineman, also committed to the
Hawks. Did Tennessee not try and recruit Francis's kid?
I don't think so.
Why not? Have you seen him play?
A little bit. I mean, I'm not.
I mean, I don't, you know. I start getting nervous when other SEC schools are taking Knoxville kids. I don't like it.
Glencliff High School, is that the school that had to shut down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lucas Panzeca with the drop of knowledge on it. Glencliff, that's where Jamont Gordon went to school back in the day.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Supposedly, I guess they didn't have enough players and it stopped playing football.
Because they all went to Brentwood and BGA and Ensworth and
NBA.
But they had started the season. So my question is, you started the season, but then you don't.
You know who the coach is at CPA?
Hmm.
Oh, my gosh. It's
The name of a blast from the past. Engle Martin.
Yep. It's pretty crazy.
Engle Martin. Who the hell's Engle Martin?
You don't remember Engle Martin?
He didn't play at Tennessee, did he?
No, he did not.
No.
He did play in the SEC.
Lipscomb. Engle Martin, yeah.
And for Furman, where George Quarles is the head coach now. Engle Martin was a big-time recruit.
George Quarles isn't the head coach at Furman. He's the offensive coordinator.
No, whatever.
Tomatoes.
Engle Martin played at Florida. Remember, he was a big-time quarterback recruit, and I think he ended up being the punter there. Like, he's just
– what year? Like, aughts? Mid-2000s?
At least 10 years ago. Maybe 15. I mean
– so, saying the 2005, that era?
Ended up transferring to Furman and played there, and I want to say he bounced around.
Was he a Zook guy?
Yeah, I can't remember. He might have been tail end of the Spurrier era, but I want to say he was great at Furman and bounced around the NFL for a little while. But he is the head coach.
His name sounds familiar.
He's turned them into a CPA into a stalwart in the mid-state private school scene. Stay with us. Hour number 2 of The Drive just around the corner. Back with more right after this.